Oh, well, so much for that stock market crash.
Never mind, never mind, never mind, never mind.
A record rise on Wall Street yesterday is being matched by markets around the world. Is it all over? Has confidence returned to the financial system? In a few moments, the president will announce a historic plan to take partial control of banks and other financial institutions. What's the word?
Never mind.
It's the takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning. It's Tuesday, October 14th. And John, that voice sounds familiar. Where'd that come from?
It's Gilda Radner dance mix. Never
there
mind.
There you go. Dance
Good morning,
mix.
Adora.
Today we'll hear from President Bush. That should be happening in just a few minutes, and he's going to be giving us some details about the Treasury Department's plans to help the banks. We're looking at the money trail in campaigns. Does it dictate which candidate wins? We'll get the answer from Freakonomics co-author Stephen Dubner. He's with us today. And an update on the power-sharing struggles in Zimbabwe. The story's coming up, but first, a few headlines.
In a few moments, the White House is expected to announce it will inject as much as $250 billion into nine of the nation's largest banks. It's the first concrete step in the government's $700 billion financial bailout. Markets in Asia and Europe have responded to all the financial levers being pulled. The Nikkei gained more than 14% today in Tokyo, its largest single-day jump. London, Paris, and Frankfurt markets have all gained around 5.5%. The Dow futures are up nearly 250 points.
Meanwhile, congressional Democrats are calling for a second economic stimulus package, this time about $150 billion. They'll say it'll be used for infrastructure, helping states, and perhaps tax rebates or cuts. Here's House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
A recovery package is needed. It may have to be larger than the one we passed in the House in light of the events that have transpired since we had our legislative action on the floor.
House Republicans are pushing their own economic aid plan that's calling for more tax cuts and energy exploration to stabilize the economy. While hundreds of firefighters work to contain two major wildfires near Los Angeles, a third one broke out yesterday further south near Camp Pendleton. Police Detective Kim Rainwater says that's an area, it's a tinderbox.
Conditions in this area are extremely dry. We've been experiencing a Santa Ana over the last 3 or 4 days with the humidity down in the teens.
All right, that was from Santa Ana, California. We now go to the White House, where the president is announcing details of the bailout plan.
Morning. I just completed a meeting with my working group on financial markets. We discussed the unprecedented and aggressive steps the federal government is taking to address the financial crisis. Over the past few weeks, my administration has worked with both parties in Congress to pass the financial rescue plan. Federal agencies have moved decisively to shore up struggling institutions and stabilize our markets. And the United States has worked with partners around the world to coordinate our actions to get our economies back on track. This weekend, I met with finance ministers from the G7 and the G20, organizations representing some of the world's largest and fastest growing economies.
Stations, we're going to continue live with President Bush here from the White House.
To provide new liquidity, strengthen financial institutions, protect our citizen savings, and ensure fairness and integrity in the markets. Yesterday, leaders in Europe moved forward with this plan. They announced significant steps to inject capital into their financial systems by purchasing equity in major banks. And they announced a new effort to jumpstart lending by providing temporary government guarantees for bank loans. These are wise and timely actions, and they have the full support of the United States. Today, I'm announcing new measures America is taking to implement the G7 action plan and strengthen banks across our country. First, the federal government will use a portion of the $700 billion financial rescue plan to inject capital into banks by purchasing equity shares. This new capital will help healthy banks continue making loans to businesses and consumers. And this new capital will help struggling banks fill the hole created by losses during the financial crisis so they can resume lending and help spur job creation and economic growth. This is an essential short-term measure to ensure the viability of America's banking system. And the program is carefully designed to encourage banks to buy these shares back from the government when the market stabilizes and they can raise capital from private investors. Second, and effective immediately, the FDIC will temporarily guarantee most new debt issued by insured banks. This will address one of the central problems plaguing our financial system. Banks have been unable to borrow money, and that has restricted their ability to lend to consumers and businesses. When money flows more freely between banks, it will make it easier for Americans to borrow for cars and homes and for small businesses to expand. Third, the FDIC will immediately and temporarily expand government insurance to cover all non-interest-bearing transaction accounts. These accounts are used primarily by small businesses.
This is The Takeaway, and we're listening to President Bush revealing details of the financial bailout that's being announced at the White House.
We will give small business owners peace of mind and bring stability to the greater stability to the banking system. Fourth, the Federal Reserve will soon finalize work on a new program to serve as a buyer of last resort for commercial paper. This is a key source of short-term financing for American businesses and financial institutions. And by unfreezing the market for commercial paper, the Federal Reserve will help American businesses meet payroll and purchase inventory and invest to create jobs. In a few moments, Secretary Paulson and other members of my working group on financial markets will explain these steps in greater detail. They will make clear that each of these new programs contains safeguards to protect the taxpayers. They will make clear that the government's role will be limited and temporary. And they will make clear that these measures are not intended to take over the free market, but to preserve it. The measures I have announced today are the latest steps in a systematic approach to address the crisis. I know Americans are deeply concerned about the stress in our financial markets and the impact it is having on their retirement accounts and 401ks and college savings and other investments. I recognize that the action leaders are taking here in Washington and in European capitals can seem distant from those concerns. But these efforts are designed to directly benefit the American people by stabilizing our overall financial system and helping our economy recover. It'll take time for our efforts to have their full impact, but the American people can have confidence about our long-term economic future. We have a strategy that is broad, that is flexible, and that is aimed at the root cause of our problem. Nations around the world are working together to overcome this challenge. And with confidence and determination, we will return our economies to the path of growth and prosperity. Thank you.
President Bush speaking a few moments ago at the White House, announcing plans to begin the spending from the $700 billion rescue plan that was passed 11 days ago by the Congress. And the strategy does contain some surprises. Instead of buying so-called toxic assets, the plan will directly inject capital into 9 major banks in the United States. It will take an ownership position, an equity position in those banks, with the opportunity that the Treasury will be reimbursed when that stock is resold, possibly even at a profit. The president saying that this is essential to restore confidence in the financial system, and also indicating that to explain more of the details, and the financial industry will be very interested in those details, Henry Paulson, the Secretary of the Treasury, will be speaking momentarily to take questions and also provide more of the details. It's a very, very interesting 11 days that we've had.
I was about to say, quite what we heard from him this morning was what we would not have expected when they first announced this bailout and the buying of toxic assets. Interestingly enough, he also said that the Federal Reserve would be open to buying commercial paper, anything, it seems, to unfreeze the marketplace so that the lending between banks and therefore to consumers can carry on.
Well, that is the centerpiece of this program. It's a way of taking the bank industry and injecting it with capital and restarting the commercial paper market with the idea that then that's going to flow through the economy and get things started again. I mean, we should point out that the global markets are continuing their sort of soaring rise from yesterday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average with a historic rise. Asian markets are continuing to rise. And, of course, the Dow Jones Industrial Average futures, which were already pretty high as the president began speaking, are setting at their highs at this point at about up 202. That's the Dow Jones Industrial Average futures.
And one of his first sentences in his statement was to praise the actions by the G7 nations to shore up the markets, talking about Europe and Japan banks that have now injected their own emergency bailout plans, injected their own multi-billion dollars to help their markets.
Joining us from the New York Times is markets correspondent Vikas Bajaj. Vikas, this is interesting in its details and also very interesting in the initial market reaction. Explain, will you?
Yeah, I mean, this is to some degree what people were saying they should have done all along in the first place. Chuck Schumer, among others, were saying that there should be direct injection into capital into the banks because, in effect, the problem the banks have is the troubled assets is one thing, but that's sort of symbolic of the larger problem, which is that they don't have enough capital, and you can do it in a more easy and sort of quick way if you just give them capital. And so I think the market's sort of reflecting what seems to be a quicker and sort of more elegant solution than buying troubled assets. Although, from what I understand, Treasury still plans to buy troubled assets. They hired some people yesterday. They announced the hiring of an investment consultant to help them with that.
And they've also hired law firms to investigate what the issues are in actually taking ownership positions in some of these banks. If this was so self-evident to you, and I'm not accusing you of being an I told you so here, but if this was so self-evident 11 days ago, what's been driving this transformation from buying toxic assets in the beginning to actually coming close to a form of nationalization here today?
I think what happened was that the credit markets froze up even further from where they were, and I think they realized, policymakers realized, that you know they needed to move more quickly than an asset purchase program would allow them to do. I mean, you have to set up a bureaucracy, you have to hire advisors and managers, and all of that takes time, and the markets essentially didn't give the administration much time to get it off the ground.
And do you think that the administration just fundamentally miscalculated the extent of this problem?
I don't know about that per se. I think in the last few weeks or months, they've been pretty clear that they think this is a serious issue. I guess one could go back further, and a lot of people have done and said that, you know, earlier in the year and last year, the administration appeared to respond more slowly than a lot of people would have liked, and that perhaps, you know, if we had gone ahead of this problem earlier in the year, we might have been in a better position.
Because it's expected that this decision this morning is going to directly affect Citigroup, Wells Fargo, J.P. Morgan, Bank of America, Morgan Stanley, and possibly even Goldman Sachs. How do those institutions change as of what's been announced today?
I don't. For some of them, there won't be a lot of change. And from what me and my colleagues were hearing yesterday, some of these institutions actually did not want this capital. They were essentially told that, you know, this is not voluntary. We would like you to take this money. In part, this is done because they wanted to make not to have sort of any stigma attached to this, so that you know, if you gave capital to one bank but not to another, maybe that suggests that the bank that got the capital was in more trouble than the bank that didn't get the capital. And so that's why they've done this across the board. And I don't think there will be direct changes, at least we don't know yet what direct changes there will be.
Well, one of our guests earlier this morning, Peter Morisi, who is very, very passionate on the issue of management control and management that got some of these institutions into this mess, says that the government is very much weak-kneed on the question of directing bank managers to actually make very, very different decisions on compensation and on all kinds of strategic questions, and that the Treasury is pretty much giving these bank managers a free hand. Is that your view?
I think that's certainly the view of critics. Critics will take that this is, in that sense, not very different from what Britain did, for instance, where you know they effectively took control of the Royal Bank of Scotland and they got rid of the management. They wiped out a lot of the control that their existing shareholders had, and this is very different in that regard. It doesn't take control, doesn't even give them a board seat. From what I understand, it's a fairly small dividend that the banks will be paying. And so, yeah, in that sense, it's not the kind of thing that a lot of people have said that they need to do in addition to providing the capital.
Last question, because the FDIC is going to temporarily extend its coverage to cover most new debt. What does that mean?
What that means, my understanding is that is really aimed at small businesses. What they've been noticing is that small businesses have been moving their money, their sort of cash on hand, from smaller banks to perhaps bigger banks that they believe have a more sound business. And, you know, they're worried about that. They're worried that smaller institutions that perhaps could have been, in danger would be in more danger because these institutions, these companies are moving their money. And so it's meant to sort of shore up confidence, but they're trying to be careful in how they do it, in the sense that they're only doing it for non-interest-bearing accounts as opposed to savings accounts, so that they don't cause people to move lots of their savings from one place to another.
Well, it's a historic step, the FDIC essentially guaranteeing one sector of the commercial paper market. Vikas Bajaj, New York Times correspondent, thanks so much for joining us from Washington. Commenting on the president's live announcement within the last 10 minutes of the bailout plan.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.